Welcome to Advocacy Unplugged, the show that will dissect critical policy issues, explore the art of advocacy, and share insights on how to make your voice heard in today's ever-changing political landscape. Whether you're a seasoned advocate or just starting, this podcast equips you with the knowledge and strategies needed to drive meaningful change and understand the dynamics at play in our state and federal government. I'm your host, John Ravitz, the Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of the Business Council of Westchester, the county's largest business membership organization focusing on economic development and advocacy. We have over 1,100 members. In regards to our advocacy efforts, our goals are to be the eyes, ears, and in many cases, the voice of Westchester's business community to all levels of government. To learn more about the Business Council of Westchester, please go to thebcw.org. We are so excited that on our first Advocacy Unplugged podcast, our guest today is Paul Zuber, who is the Executive Vice President of the Business Council of New York State. Paul's been in that position for over 2.5 years, and he brings the knowledge and unique insight of more than 2 decades worth of experience, working both in key positions within the New York State Legislature and as a pivotal and successful advocate for such high-profile clients as the Firemen's Association of the State of New York, MGM, Resorts World, Total Wine and more, and the New York State Laborers. Paul, thanks for being with us today.
Well, it's great to be here, and I'm glad someone's excited to have me someplace. I was escorted out of my house by my wife very quickly. Get to that podcast.
You always have a home here with us at the Business Council of Westchester. We should know for our listeners, the Business Council of Westchester is a member of the Business Council of New York State, and it has been a great partnership for us, as well as working with other business membership organizations, focusing on key critical issues that are facing the business community in Albany. Let's just talk a little bit about your feelings of advocacy. Obviously, as you and your team begin to look at the legislative sessions that come up and begin to talk about and hear the concerns of your members, how do you identify the issues that you think should be a priority?
Well, I think the first thing, we obviously go through all the bills that come through the legislature, and then we kind of identify those bills that we think are problematic or might be something that hurts our 3,200 plus members. Then what we do is we reach out to our membership. We break our membership up into committees, so our committees are given full knowledge and understanding of what's out there in terms of bills and issues. So, you know, it becomes very important in advocacy to really kind of drill down and understand what the issue is and understand what is the result of whatever bill is passed or regulation which is passed. And so that's how we end up doing it. And then, you know, the other thing that's kind of really unique about being in the business council, and it's different from my time as a contract lobbyist, is having so many members. It's really interesting that you really can drill down on issues because you have ready-made experts within a phone call away that can explain to you what it truly means to a business when X happens. Mm-hmm. And so that becomes the first step in advocacy, is understanding the issue and then making sure your members understand the issue.
So you have an issue, and if you want to give us a specific example, that's great. But it's an issue that's come up. You've talked to your members. They say, yeah, this is a concern of ours. On the flip side, there might be some issues. We don't want to always say that they're not issues that the legislature is working on that we want them to pass. Mm-hmm. But the majority of them are things that we need them to really understand what the unintended consequences and the ramifications could be. How do you begin to build your plan for educating, in many cases, the legislature?
Yeah, I think it's become a little bit more difficult over the years than in years past. I think that the legislature, particularly in New York State legislature, has changed in terms of its membership. I think there, for businesses, I think there's less members that have come from the working world, less members who have come from either owning a business or working at a law firm or working for a business than ever before. And I think a lot of members come, they either have worked for an advocacy group or politics has been their only career. So it has become a little difficult. And then I think the other thing that's really changed is social media. So now all of a sudden, you know, we may be able to go to somebody and explain an issue and we think, well, we're right on the policy, but those who want the issue pushed have really understood and understand how impactful social media can be. So if you're look at Albany now, there are some groups, like, for example, there's a strong push to tax the wealthy, right? Tax the rich. We need to tax the rich. There's also a strong undercurrent by business associations such as ours and yours that, hey, guys, let's slow down here because people are leaving New York State. This isn't a smart thing to do. But I give the advocates credit because they've really learned how to use social media. They've really learned how to create this groundswell to make it seem as though this is what the majority of the population wants. So I think it's all changed. So, but I think the first step in answering your question, the first step for us is obviously taking that knowledge, taking the bills that we think are important for our membership, and then immediately meeting with targeted legislators. Who is the most impactful legislator when it comes to this particular issue? Is it the chair of the committee? Is it somebody who has an issue in their district that may be more sensitive to this issue than others? So you really kind of have to drill down on who your audience is and who is going to end up being the best advocate for you. So once you end up doing that, then you can take the next steps, which I think now are more important than ever, which is, I think business has gotten to the point now where we have to be more active on social media. We have to be more, with a podcast like this, we have to be more active in getting our message out.
Mm-hmm. This is Advocacy Unplugged. I'm John Ravitz, the Executive Vice President of the Business Council of Westchester. Our guest this afternoon is Paul Zuber, who's the Executive Vice President of the Business Council of New York State. And we're talking again just about some of the tools that you need to begin to your advocacy campaign on a specific issue. So look, we're taping this on April 2nd. This is probably going to come out in about 10 days, but we still don't have a state budget. And obviously, for those of you who don't know, under the state constitution, the budget is supposed to be passed by the legislature by April 1st. It hasn't happened. What are some of the key issues that you and your team are focusing on now that you're hearing from the business community that need to be addressed?
Housing is definitely one of those issues. And I think that right now, as we speak right now, it seems from all my contacts within the legislature and the governor's office seems to be the preeminent issue that they're talking about right now. And the reason housing becomes so important for the business community is affordability is an issue for businesses, right? So, you know, when we're talking about, you know, recruiting workers to work for our companies, or if we're trying to attract companies to come into New York State, affordability is an important issue. And I don't think there's anybody in the state that thinks that, you know, it's affordable to live in New York City. It's affordable to live in some of the suburbs surrounding New York City. I mean, I'm from Albany, and even Albany is starting to see that uptick in not only property taxes, but the cost of housing. And that's an incredibly big issue. I think another big issue for us that we're monitoring is during COVID, the state obviously shut down businesses throughout the state. And they shut down businesses and only allowed what they called essential businesses to be open. And what that forced many businesses to do is to send their employees, had to let them go, and their employees went out and got unemployment insurance. Well, that depleted New York's fund, unemployment insurance fund, and we had to borrow money from the federal government. So in turn, we had to borrow about $7 billion from the federal government. The problem is New York State has to pay that money back. The only way that you pay that money back is putting assessments on businesses. So, and as many of the business owners know, when you're talking about unemployment insurance, it's a per employee tax. So now they're putting all these assessments on businesses to pay back their $7 billion. Now, we have been advocating for a while that this is a pure sense of insanity that exists in Albany today. So you're telling a business that you did nothing wrong. You did everything we told you to do for health reasons. You didn't make the decision. You didn't want to let your people go. But what we're now going to do is we're going to charge you for that. We're going to make you pay for that. And it is completely ridiculous. About 40 or so states have actually taken the money that they have gotten from the federal government and paid down their debt. New York is one of the only few that has not. When the federal money came in, all the groups out there said, no, 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 we don't want to pay for unemployment insurance. We can't do that. So the state did not put any money to pay down the debt. And the funny part is now one of the debates going on in Albany is suddenly many of the unions have realized that increases in unemployment benefits is tied to the debt. So the increases that were supposed to occur for the last 3 years never occurred. So now they're coming in saying, hey, I know that the debt's there. I know we're not going to pay the debt, but we still want you to increase the benefits to the employees. And our concern with that, we definitely think there should be an increase. We think that that's the way, you know, people deserve that. But at the same time, you have a debt. Pay down the debt. Because if you increase what you have to give in unemployment benefits, you're just going to increase the debt. You're just going to put more of a burden on the taxpayers, particularly businesses. So those are some of the things. There's another big issue out there that has to do, without getting too into weeds for your audience, it's called the Deceptive Practices Act. And what it does is it creates a new standard called abusive practices. There's no definition for abusive practices. So imagine if you're an insurance company and you write an insurance policy and suddenly a customer says, you know, this act of God thing, it was abusive. I didn't know that, you know, a hailstorm wasn't covered under my insurance policy. You have the ability to start a third-party action, a private right of action against the insurance company. The insurance company does, under the bill, have an ability to cure it, but that's an impossibility when you're talking about hundreds of thousands of insurance policies. And all it's going to end up doing is it's going to continue to drive businesses out of New York State. And already we're seeing, like in the insurance industry in California, there are some insurance companies that have said they're going to stop writing in those states.
And so that goes to some of the other bigger issues that I know both organizations have been working on, which is like the scaffold law, mm-hmm. where now, again, there's only two companies, I believe, in New York State that are insurance companies that are writing policy now because of how onerous the scaffold law is. And you mentioned the unemployment insurance and UI, and obviously the BCW has been working with the Business Council of New York State on this issue. One of the things that I think as a tool for advocacy, and tell me in your examples of this as well, a few weeks ago, I was part of the NFIB Small Business Lobby Day in Albany. We brought business owners to sit down with legislators. Mm-hmm. And we specifically said on the unemployment insurance, tell them what you're seeing every month, the bills that's getting at you, and tell them how that's infecting your present strategies for keeping people employed. And it was very, very interesting to see the legislators' affect when they listen to a small business person say, I have 20 people on my payroll now. If this continues, I'm going to have to let 5 go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the most important tool when it comes to advocacy, right, is bringing in those people that are extremely affected by a piece of legislation or a regulation have them advocate and let the legislator know what it really means to them as a business. I think that what business has to get better at is harnessing that tool through the use of, you know, technology that exists today. And I think, again, going back to what I said earlier, what some of the advocacy groups out there have gotten better at is being able to harness that, right? Because we can have an NFIB lobby day, we can have a business council lobby day or whoever, and we'll bring up businesses for that day. And that was a traditional way of doing it. But once that day is over, the voices stop, right? So I think what you're seeing with advocacy now is you're seeing more use of, you know, what I would say data analytics and what they call geofencing and things of that nature to kind of keep bringing that message to legislators that this is really impacting the people that you want to help most. And I think that's a tool we're learning about. You know, a while back last year, there was a talk about raising the minimum wage to $21. And, you know, I remember having this discussion with one of the legislators, and I said, but I thought you were for small business. And she's like, no, I am. This is about the people. And I said, but who do you think is most affected by a $21 minimum wage? I said, if I'm a small hardware owner, I can't handle a $21 minimum wage. The only reason you're coming to my hardware store is I can provide you the service that Home Depot can. I can have my employees show you what this tool is for, would show you what you need here. Now you're raising the costs, and I'm losing money. Home Depot will just add more checkout lines, right? They'll just put less people on the floor. But being able to get businesses to obviously advocate that to the legislature becomes an incredibly effective tool. And I think what you're starting to see now from businesses and other groups is utilizing that power of social media, using that power of technology to kind of advocate more strongly on our issues rather than just relying on face-to-face meetings like we used to in the past.
Well, and again, it's got to be one of the tools in our arsenal, right? That we use, and we have to get businesses to buy into that as well.
Absolutely. You know, we had a big issue last year with what was called non-compete legislation. That bill would I literally had phone calls from CEOs when that bill was passed by the Assembly and the Senate. It would ban non-compete agreements in New York State. Who said, if this passes, I'm out. But there were a lot of financial services companies who were, I'm out of New York. I just want to let you know we're done because I can't survive with that being the case. We ended up, the Business Council ended up running a $1.5 million campaign, mostly through social media, mostly through streaming services, to kind of reinforce and educate the public on why this was so important. And it became an effective tool for us. And it allowed us to get the governor to hold firm on what we thought was a reasonable compromise. Eventually, she ended up vetoing the bill. I think if we did not do that, I think the governor would have been forced to sign a bill that was not helpful to businesses. And so that's how it's changed. We're starting to see it. And, you know, to your point, I think the trick for us and the trick for the Business Council of Westchester is to continue to educate our business members on how important that is. Because sometimes they don't necessarily see it. Like, well, why am I, you know, helping with some social media campaign? Why am I? It's extremely important because this ability to have a lobby day every 24 hours mm-hmm. in the day, because you
presence.
Can constantly be messaging to the members.
We only have a few moments left. I do want to touch on something because you brought it up very earlier, the changing political landscape in Albany. I mean, again, for those of us who are helping to advocate on behalf of the business community, whether they be large corporations or small businesses or non-for-profits, we are now faced with a challenge of a legislature where, as you said, many of them have never really been in the workforce before. Yeah. How do we begin to deal with that divide? Because there is a disconnect that has to be addressed.
A big disconnect. I think sometimes, you know, what we've tried to do is we try to find areas of common ground to create sort of a relationship so we can have open and honest discussions with some of the legislators that we probably wouldn't have been able in the past. But, you know, it is an issue, right? Because you're having more extremes on both sides of the political aisle. And so what if you look at the legislature in New York State, which is a Democratic controlled legislature, if some of the members don't vote 100% in line with, say, what the Democratic Socialists want or extremely progressive left want, they end up getting primaried, right? So there's tons of legislators who are very good legislators who are suddenly being primaried because they didn't vote 100% of the time. So they use their common sense on some issues. And there's something fundamentally wrong with that, because then what it ends up doing, it ends up scaring those legislators who generally are liberal to moderate and making them support issues that they normally wouldn't support for fear of the left. And I think it's going to be a very interesting election cycle, this upcoming election cycle, to see what happens in the primaries. Are there more Democratic Socialist members elected to the New York State Assembly? I know there are some moderates who are taking on Democratic Socialist members, one here in Westchester and one in the Hudson Valley region. Do they end up winning? I think, you know, it's important for us to support those. The legislature is going to remain Democratic. So I think it's important for us to support those liberal to moderate members because, quite frankly, they at least have their door open. They are at least willing to listen. I think we're running in a very dangerous place in New York State when we're being controlled by people who are very on an extreme side of the political equation. And I think that's a big difference. There really is a push on particularly on the left in the legislature where if you don't agree with them, then you're shunned. And it's kind of weird. You're watching the Democratic Party eat its own in some form or another. And it creates for a very difficult environment.
Well, and again, that's the challenge. And that's what this show is about. It's really trying to hopefully give people an understanding on how important it is to use every tool at your disposal to advocate for issues that you feel are important to your business, to be able to continue to keep your business in New York State, but also to grow. Our guest this afternoon has been the Executive Vice President of the Business Council of New York State, Paul Zuber. Paul, first of all, thank you for coming in to be our first guest on this podcast.
Well, this is great. I thank you. We appreciate it.
And more importantly, thank you for the ongoing work that you've done in Albany. You have lived numerous lives, if you will, on both sides of the equation. Which, in a sense, gives you a better perspective, I think, than most about that.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'd like to thank you and Marcia for all that you guys have done and all your support. We couldn't do it without our membership, and the Business Council of Westchester is just a member that we value so much because they're always there. They always support us.
This has been the first episode of Advocacy Unplugged, which is part of the Business Council of Westchester's podcast network. This is John Ravitz, the Executive Vice President. Thank you for listening, and please tune in next time.